The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to The Big Show. Very busy breaking news afternoon, and we are just getting started. Whoever would have guessed that this guy might have some emotional issues down the road?
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. F.O.B.
Richard Sherman, he was beloved by Seahawk fans when he was playing here. Then he went to the 49ers, and then he was, you know, with the other team. But there was talk about him signing with the Seahawks again this season. I wonder if his NFL career might be over, because he is now facing the possibility of some pretty serious felony charges after what went down this morning. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So this happened in the wee hours of this morning when a car was driving on 520 and it crashed into a barrier, concrete barrier, on 520, and then it drove into a construction zone. As it drove into the construction zone, the tires popped on this vehicle, but the driver of the vehicle, believed to be Richard Sherman, continued to drive on his disabled car with popped tires. He got off on 148th there, off of 520, and abandoned his car in a parking lot. Then about, and Redmond police got involved, the Washington State Patrol was involved, and then about an hour later, they got the call that you just heard referenced in Aaron's newscast that some family members, reportedly Richard Sherman's in-laws, were reporting that somebody was trying to break into their home, and that it was Richard Sherman who was trying to do that. Now, this is a very serious charge that he's facing. Let's forget about what happened on the roadway with the Washington State Patrol end of it. There is a Redmond police press conference coming up a little bit later this afternoon, and we'll have a lot of details from the Redmond PD when that press conference happens. But when Richard Sherman tried to break into his in-law's home, allegedly, all of this is alleged at this point, but the occupants inside the home, they had called 911. They said that it was a family member who did not live there who was trying to break in. And when they arrived on the scene, they did identify Richard Sherman as the suspect. They had already seen that that was the owner of the car that had been involved in the incident earlier. And when Sherman was being approached by the Redmond cops, and Washington State Patrol was also helping up at the scene there at the house, they say that he became uncooperative and combative during questioning. And he allegedly fought with the police so much, I am told by some very good sources, that a canine was deployed to take down Richard Sherman and help bring him into custody. He was taken to the hospital. They were looking at possible injuries, whether it was from the car crash or from being taken down by a canine, I do not know. But he was taken to a hospital, looked at for possible injuries, and then was booked at the county jail. We are also told that not only is he facing charges for felony breaking in at the house, which is a very serious charge. It is a possible felony. It can have a long prison sentence if you are convicted of burglary, domestic violence. That's actually the name of the possible charge that he's facing. Burglary, domestic violence. And that does carry a lengthy prison sentence if you are convicted of that charge. So that's what happened at the end. He allegedly tried to break into his in-law's house. That's where he's facing burglary, domestic violence. But let's find out what happened at the beginning of all of this. Let's continue with our Big Lead coverage.
The Big Lead, top story.
So continuing with our top story coverage, as you heard in the narrative that I just gave, this all started when Richard Sherman allegedly was involved in a hit and run, possibly a suspected DUI. He crashed his car an hour or so before his arrest. Trooper Rick Johnson with Washington State Patrol joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Trooper Johnson, good to talk to you. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah. Hello, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so can you just walk me through this chronologically from when your people first got the call about a car incident? And what roadway was this on?
It was on 520. So just it looks like the time was just after 1 a.m., a little before 1:30, that we received a call of a one-car barrier collision eastbound stair out 520 near the exit to 148th Avenue.
Okay.
And it was in a construction zone, and apparently the vehicle entered the construction zone and was unable to travel any further into the construction zone. The vehicle then left the scene and ended up in a parking lot off of the 148th Street exit where it was either abandoned or disabled. Not sure which.
I heard that as it entered the construction zone, tires popped on the vehicle, and he drove off even with that damage to the car. Is that correct?
That's correct. Because we found the vehicle, or somebody reported the vehicle shortly after that. We found the vehicle in that parking lot. And of course, normal course of investigation, you know, we're going to run the license plate. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if a picture came up, but sometimes your license is tied to the registration, depending on where your license is from. And then, you know, where Redmond PD came into play is, you know, we're looking for, you know, an individual. Of course, let Redmond PD know we're looking for, an individual. This is who owns the vehicle, so possibly was the driver. I mean, obviously, not a fact at that point. And we ended up contacting Redmond PD at a residence that they were called to in their city, where they were also looking for Richard Sherman, and there was an arrest made there, and I believe we assisted. Redmond PD maintained custody of Mr. Sherman the whole night. We did a blood search warrant for the suspected DUI and filing charges of hit and run also, so two misdemeanor charges on our end.
Okay, so the house where your troopers and Redmond police, where you located him, how far was that from where the car was abandoned? Was it walking or running distance?
Dory, I don't know. I don't have that address in front of me. It's, as you know, been a crazy day. I'm assuming it couldn't be that far. But from the time we got the first call to where he was placed in the custody, looks like it was just under an hour, maybe a little less.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know the direction, you know, he was heading or how far it was.
And I know this is probably a question better directed to Redmond police, but since you said that your troopers assisted, do you know what was going on at the house? We're told that it was his in-law's house. Do you know what was going on there?
I have no idea what was going on. I've been told by other media outlets that they looked at the jail roster and saw what Mr. Sherman was booked under. So that's the only place I was able to get my information, because obviously it's, you know, Redmond's lane to travel in with that, and I'm sure they'll speak more to that today at the press conference.
I've been told that burglary, domestic violence, is a felony, and if you get anywhere near the max, it can be a long prison sentence. Do you know if a canine was involved in taking him down?
You know, I heard the canine was involved, but it's not ours, because we have bomb and drug canines that will just lick your face.
Okay.
So it had to be a Redmond, you know, dog if that was in fact deployed. I'm sure they'll speak to that also.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I know we have a press conference coming up at 2 o'clock from Redmond PD. So the charges that Washington State Patrol is filing, and this is aside from any of the burglary, domestic violence, any of that, but you're going to be charging or recommending charges for what?
Correct. For DUI and hit and run. Property damage. There's no one injured, so they're both misdemeanors. And that's obviously separate than, you know, Redmond's charges. And those will be presented to the prosecutor, you know, shortly, but it also takes a little bit of time for blood work to come back.
Yeah, how much time? How fast do they turn around blood work? And is it faster for a high-profile case?
You know, that would be a question for the tox lab. I have no idea how they prioritize. I'm assuming they do because, you know, some things are more important than others. But as far as somebody that's well known, I don't know if that would be considered a priority for them. But I'd like to know that answer myself. I just don't.
Okay. All right. We'll keep asking the questions. We're talking with Trooper Rick Johnson from the Washington State Patrol. So just last thing, and whether there's a personal or professional question, when you find out at beginning of shift what Richard Sherman, is one of the more famous people in our region, what Richard Sherman is accused of having done, what does that mean for those of you who are in the job of disseminating information to all of us and to the public through us?
Well, my first call was about 1:30, 1:34 a.m. when this was actually active. And I knew that I would be talking to, I assumed, you and many others. And, you know, and that's just, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it is, you know, of interest. And, you know, as far as initially, I didn't, like I said, know anything about the Redmond charges until I was told, gosh, probably an hour ago, because it's just been so busy. I know our part. And that's obviously what I've been speaking to all morning.
Well, it is amazing because I've been looking at a bunch of national websites throughout the morning, and it is crazy how much attention this case is getting. So, and it will continue to as it
goes towards. Well, it's crazy. There's a British newspaper from New York called The Sun that called.
Wow. Okay, so you've gone international, is what you're telling me.
Apparently,
it's about time. You've deserved this notoriety for some time, Trooper.
Oh yeah, well you're very nice, Dorian.
Okay, well it's really great talking with you. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right, you bet. Have a great afternoon.
You too, Rick Johnson, Trooper Rick Johnson with the Washington State Patrol. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
We told you about a story yesterday that the day before on Monday. The suspected killer of the 19-year-old young man at Chaz Chop had been arrested. His name is Marcel Long. They'd been looking for him ever since the shooting. There was enough video and there were enough people who were able to identify Marcel Long, but they thought that he was out of the state, maybe even out of the country, as a fugitive from the murder charge. But the police got tips on over the weekend that he was in Des Moines, right here in our region, and they were able to make the arrest on Monday afternoon of Marcel Long. Now, the man that he allegedly shot is Lorenzo Anderson, a 19-year-old at CHOP. We are being told, we're getting more details now, that Lorenzo Anderson and Marcel Long had a beef that had gone on for more than a year. I have had sources in law enforcement tell me that this more than year-long feud between these two men was gang-related. And I have more of a question for you, because I'm going to say something here that I know is very politically incorrect. But as you know, both the mother of Lorenzo Anderson and his father are separately filing lawsuits against the city of Seattle, against King County, against Washington State, because all of these different governmental entities didn't do anything about the Chaz Chop takeover. And what they allege in the lawsuits is that because Lorenzo Anderson was shot, medics couldn't go in, even though he was shot outside of Chaz, just right outside of Chaz. But medics couldn't go in because the police had not secured the area of a shooting scene. And so that's the protocol, is the medics have to have the police give them the green light. So the medics weren't able to go in, and Lorenzo Anderson bled out. And so they say, because the politicians allowed Chaz and Chop, that's why they are suing Jenny Durkin, Jay Inslee, the city, the state, everybody they can sue. And the mother has filed the lawsuit. The father is going to file a separate lawsuit. The mother, her name is Donita Sinclair Martin, and she talked to Cairo 7 News our news partners, and she said that she's just relieved that her son's killer, the one they believed killed him, has been caught.
I couldn't even believe it. Honestly, I just was wondering, was I ever going to feel that? Was I ever going to, you know, because it felt like he was, that he was not going to ever get caught.
She also says that she now wants the city to be held accountable for her son's death.
Mr. Long is the one that pulled the trigger, but the city is the one who set the environment and allowed the environment to happen.
So here's my question for you, and I do have to say something that I know some people are going to consider to be a horrible thing for me to even suggest and say. But while I was the leading critic of Chaz Chop, it is outrageous that the city, that both Jenny Durkin, police brass, Jay Inslee, oh, first I've heard about it. Ooh, I don't know anything about it. Oh, what's going on now? That they all let this happen. And that is disgusting. But if this was the culmination of a more than year-long gang dispute, and you may recall, just a couple of weeks ago, Lorenzo Anderson's father, also named Lorenzo, he was shot down in Burien. And that was believed to be a gang shooting as well. He survived, but that was, by all police accounts, that was a gang shooting. If you have a father and son involved in gangs, which are by its very nature incredibly murderous and dangerous and violent, and now you have both the mom and the dad coming after the city, the county, the state for millions and millions and millions of dollars, maybe tens of millions, because of what happened to their son. I want there to be accountability for our politicians who allowed Chaz Chop to happen. But I'm not sure about enriching parents when both the dad allegedly and the son, allegedly, both according to police sources, were ganged up. That's a very dangerous life to lead. And I'm not sure about, you know, the mom and dad getting millions and millions of dollars because of Chaz Chop, because it would seem to me that the gang life is responsible for about 99% of what happened to this young man. As I said, I know that's not the most politically correct thing to say. And my heart does go out to his mother who visited her son's grave.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to tell him. I'm like, son, I'm proud of you. I'm super proud of you. That's why I came here. I told him we did this together.
Okay, so lawsuits are flying. Do you think that it matters? Because Chaz Chop was outrageous that they allowed it to happen. Does it matter if son and father were both members of gangs as their lawsuits start making their way through the system? To me, it matters tremendously. But I'd be curious to hear what you think. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, I wonder if our Democratic legislature is proud of itself. They just passed a new police restraint bill. It hasn't gone into effect yet, but some departments have started to implement it already. And I had a bunch of cops who reached out to me. There was a horrible apartment fire down in White Center a couple of nights ago. Complete loss. Families lost everything. And we are now being told that this new law just passed by your Democratic state legislature might be the reason this horrible arson fire happened in the first place. But it's a big fat I told you so, because I had cops telling me this when the law first passed. I'll give you the details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Redmond Police press conference. Did you say it's going to start at 1:30? Is that right?
That is the latest we have now. Originally, it was called for 1 o'clock. It was pushed back to 1:30 is the latest we have from Redmond PD.
Oh, okay. I'd heard 2 o'clock. Yep, so that's good to know. Okay. We might dip in, take some of that live when when it comes down. That, you know, local story here is making worldwide headlines. If you're just joining us, former Seahawk Richard Sherman allegedly involved in a hit-and-run incident last night. He hit property, 520 barrier, went into a construction zone, popped the tires on his car, drove off of 520, put it in a parking lot, and then ran, apparently, from that parking lot to his in-law's house. And they called 911, and he is facing a felony domestic violence charge now. K-9 had to take down Richard Sherman. That's a tough dog when you're going up against Richard Sherman, too. But I got to talk to Wyman about that one of these days, because Wyman always thinks that he's tougher and stronger than most animals. Wyman thinks that he would defeat a bear if he and a bear got in a fight. And a bear is tougher than a dog. Right? So, but yeah, the dog apparently took down Richard Sherman. Sherman went to the hospital. We don't know if that was for injuries in the car crash or because of the dog taking him down. But it is. It's the number one story in the world today, it seems. All over the country, all over the world, it's making headlines. So we'll keep you posted. We may take some of that Redmond press conference live and get you the latest on that. Also, a little bit later this afternoon, you remember Lynn Brewer? She's been a very, very good friend of our show for 20 years now. I first talked to Lynn. She had been an executive at Enron, and she was one of the whistleblowers that exposed one of the great corporate scandals in our nation's history. And as an Enron whistleblower, she has really internalize the importance of being a watchdog, not just of government, but of corporations as well. But this time, she was being a watchdog of government. She was keeping an eye on the $650 million that Nigerian scammers, wink, wink, stole from the taxpayers of our state. So Lynn Brewer, about a year ago, she started asking for public records. She wanted emails. She wanted specifically any text messages between Jay Inslee and Susie Levine, who is running ESD. And while they're supposed to respond within days to give you a timeline of when they're going to get you those records, they went 6 months without an adequate response. And so she sued. And Lynn Brewer has just been awarded $100,000. To cover her legal fees in trying to be a watchdog of employment security. Now, what I've been asking from the very beginning is ESD, are they stonewalling all of this because of sheer incompetence or because of criminal malfeasance? Because I've long believed that there is at least the possibility that there was somebody on the inside helping the Nigerian scammers steal $650 million. So we're going to talk to Lynn Brewer a little bit later about this legal triumph, and it just exposes, once again, the incompetence of Jay Inslee, of Susie Levine, who used to run ESD and then got a promotion to the Biden administration. We'll talk about her getting an award of $100,000, which means, you know, tax dollars, we're going to pay for it, just like we're paying businesses, see their unemployment insurance rates skyrocket to cover the $650 million that was either lost or stolen or however they want to categorize it. So that's what we have coming up this afternoon. I've been hearing from a lot of cops, and I do have a lot of great friends and sources in law enforcement. You may recall a month or so ago when those four Tacoma police officers in the Manny Ellis case, in a bit of grandstanding by Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, they charged one of the cops with murder, two with manslaughter. They could go to prison for decades now. And I had an officer who wrote to me back then and said, do people realize what is happening? Do people understand that the more we try to criminalize what police do in the course of dealing with some bad, dangerous people, the more dangerous society is going to get? And my officer friend who wrote to me said, there are going to be some unintended consequences. You're going to see more innocent people die. You may see some police officers die because they are going to hesitate before they do what they've been trained to do. And I'm going to give you an example of how our lawmakers make this more dangerous, make this place more dangerous. There was a horrible fire called the Hanover Apartments in SeaTac a couple of days ago. 48 units completely destroyed, and it moved so fast people weren't able to get any of their family belongings out. It was so hot, the cars that were parked in front of the apartment building melted. It was a horrific fire. Well, it turns out the suspect in that fire, Michael Rensdorf, a few hours before the arson, he had an encounter with police. And under normal circumstances, he was so out of his mind, they would have been able to take him in for involuntary commitment for a mental health evaluation. But then your state legislature, the Democrats who run the state, they passed a bill, a law this summer, House Bill 1310. And they said in that bill, it says, well, you can only use force under limited circumstances. The law doesn't go into effect for 9 days, but 8 days. But a lot of agencies are already using it. And many cops told me they were worried about the impact. I did a whole topic a couple of weeks ago about House Bill 1310. And officers told me that they were going to be paralyzed and not able to do their job. And if they weren't afraid, the King County Sheriff's deputies, if they weren't afraid that they would get sued and get, you know, criminal charges and go to jail, if they involuntarily restrained a crazy guy, they might have done that. But instead, we're seeing depolicing. And we're seeing that because of the laws passed by our legislature, cops are not able to do their job because they're not going to do something that might take them away from their family and put them in jail. And that is where we have people who have no clue, and your legislature has absolutely zero clue what real life is about. There are a bunch of social activists, and if you know, you lose 46 homes. Those families that lived in this apartment, 48, excuse me. And families, 48 families lose all of their belongings, their photos, everything they have, because the legislature passes a law that handcuffs the cops before they can do their job. I had five different officers who have contacted me in the last 24 hours, and they believe that this new state law is the reason that apartment building burned down. Does anybody in the legislature feel guilt? Do you think any of the Democrats are having second thoughts? Of course not. Their goal was to allow criminals and crazy people to continue to run free, to wreak havoc, to tear down our society from within. That is the goal of handcuffing our cops. And now we've seen a lot of low-income families' lives devastated by that. Your legislature at work. Okay, quick time out here, and then we got a lot more to do. Speaking of which, woke culture is killing the ratings of an awful lot of what used to be high profile events. Wait till you hear how devastating these numbers are. I've got that for you coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Baby, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was last night, and we are just getting in the ratings for the game. Because I will tell you, when I was a kid, I woke up on All-Star Tuesday with goosebumps, rippling with excitement. I had a baseball scorebook. And I sat in front of the TV, and I kept track of every single pitch. I started doing that when I was 7 years old. I kept doing it until I was about 13 because I was just so excited for the baseball All-Star game. And it was appointment viewing. You know, Reggie Jackson hitting one into the light towers at Tiger Stadium and Pete Rose barreling over Ray Fosse at home plate to win for the National League. It was so exciting. Now it is nothing. The All-Star Game, in 1980, more than 36 million people tuned in. By 2015, they had 11 million. So they'd lost 67% of their audience. That was 2015. But last night, the numbers, just in from Nielsen, are absolutely horrible. Fewer than 8 million people watched the Major League All-Star Game. Think about that. 1980, 36 million. Just 6 years ago. 2015, 11 million. Now they've lost 30% of that audience, as they're down to 8 million. And why? Well, in part because Major League Baseball has gone woke. They moved the game, and I know so many rabid baseball fans who said as soon as they moved the All-Star Game from Atlanta to Denver for political reasons, everybody said, I'm done. I'm done with baseball. And I don't blame them. I do not blame people. And it goes on from there, though. The ESPYs, which were just on, the ESPN award show, the ratings there, because the ESPYs have gone as woke can be, the ESPYs ratings are off 80% from their high. And I thought I'd just play you an example, because now everything is as PC as possible. A couple years ago, they gave Caitlyn Jenner the Courage Award, which was just their effort to show how progressive they are. A few years ago, it was actually 1998, Norm MacDonald hosted the ESPYs. And I watched his opening monologue this morning. This is when the ratings were through the roof for the ESPYs. And I mean, he told jokes that you could never tell today. You couldn't joke about having relations with an intern in 2021.
When I was asked to host the ESPYs this year, folks, I said yes immediately for one reason and one reason only. This show has interns. Relations backstage a little later.
The audience thought that was hilarious. Nobody would dare laugh at that today. He also told, this is one of the most notorious jokes ever. He told a joke about the guy who won the Heisman Trophy.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
This is the audience. An OJ joke about killing people gets huge laughter and applause. That was 23 years ago when people thought that comedy had the right and the freedom to go after things that nobody else dares. And now the ESPYs, as they've gone the complete opposite direction, the ESPY ratings are off 80% from their high. Only had 3 million viewers on ABC. Get woke, go broke. Check the news for you, and then the Fast 15 is coming up next.